This is an audio podcast of an introduction to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, taught by Jim Cassidy. Videos of each lesson are available for free online at reformedforum.org.
Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 6, goes like this. How many persons are there in the Godhead? And the answer is, there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. I remember one time I was at a booth that our church had to do evangelism and outreach at a fair. And a woman came up to me and she said, "You worship three gods." And that took me by surprise. I said, "What do you mean? Tell me more." And she explained to me that she was a Muslim. And she was from the local Islamic center, and she was going around telling people about Allah and how Christians worship many gods, but there's really only one God. And then she went on to explain to me that my three gods are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that these three are in fact three gods. And the reason why she rejected Christianity was because Christianity teaches multiple gods. And I had the opportunity to explain to her that it's actually quite on the contrary. As we saw in our previous lesson, there is only one true and living God. And this one God is also, at the same time, three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three persons are not three gods. They are three persons who are, at once and the same time, the one true and living God. And so we might say, where is that taught in Scripture? And if you have ever had a Jehovah's Witness come and knock on your door and try to convince you of their religion, they will tell you very clearly and very much up front that the Trinity is not taught in the Bible. And they'll say, nowhere in the Bible will you find the word Trinity. And you know what? They're actually correct about that. They're right about that. You can look in the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and you will never find the word Trinity in your Bibles. But we have to understand that our theology is not constrained by particular words. The word Trinity is a useful word. It summarizes and describes the biblical teaching on who God is. And even though the word is not there in the Bible, the concept that that word seeks to identify is taught in the Scriptures. And I want to show that to you. I want to prove that to you here. So first of all, we want to establish from Holy Scripture that there is, in fact, only one God. So that whatever we might say about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, nothing can contradict that fact. As it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." That cannot be undone. That is never contradicted within Scripture. There is only one true and living God, no matter what we may say about the Father or about the Son or about the Holy Spirit. But the Scripture also teaches us and identifies for us three persons who are all called God within Scripture. Now, the fact that the Father is God is something that I'll go ahead and just assume that we all agree with. Even Jehovah's Witnesses or whoever else we might speak with, that's fairly uncontroversial. The idea that the Father is God is not debated. So we'll go right and talk about, we'll go on immediately and talk about the idea of the Son being identified as God. So the second person of the Trinity, the Son, is clearly articulated for us in Scripture as being God. And I want to direct your attention to the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we have this teaching which is very clear about the second person of the Trinity. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who is this word? We're told later on in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, particularly in verse 14, who the word is. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. So who is this word that is identified in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3? It is, in fact, the Son of God. It is the second person of the Trinity. It is the one who became incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, going back to verses 1 through 3, it clearly identifies for us here that the Word is God. Now, if you talk to, again, your Jehovah's Witness friend, they will pull out the Greek and they will try to show you that it doesn't say that. They'll try to convince you that it says that the Word was a God, but not the God. And that becomes an impossible interpretation on the basis of the text of John chapter 1, particularly with regard to verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jehovah's Witnesses will say that the Son of God, or that is identified here, or the Word, is the first of all of God's creatures, the first of all of God's creation. But it is very clear here that in verses 2 and 3 of John chapter 1, that the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, is the creator of all things. He is not the creator of himself, but he is the one who has created at the beginning all things which came into existence which previously did not exist. He is the Word that God speaks in Genesis chapter 1 that brings into being, brings into existence that which previously did not exist. And so we can say that the Father is God, and we can say that the Son is God. But we also, of course, must say that the Holy Spirit is God. As it says elsewhere in Scripture, in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, if you remember that incident there, I'll read it to you. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And you keep back part of the price of the lands. You have not," later on he says, "you have not lied to man, but to God." And in Acts chapter 5, what Peter does is he identifies the Holy Spirit to whom Ananias lies with the God who is identified later on as the one to whom Ananias has lied. And so what Peter does is clearly identifies the person of the Holy Spirit with the divine nature in Acts chapter 5. And so the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit cannot be an impersonal. You cannot lie to an impersonal force. It would be a strange thing for me to tell an untruth to the wall or to these bookshelves and say that I lied to them. You don't lie to a thing. You lie to persons. It's not a lie unless you're telling an untruth to another person. And so the Holy Spirit is also God and is personal as well. So these three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are clearly three distinct persons, but all are identified as God. And we know that there are not three gods because the Scriptures teach us there is only one true and living God. And so all these three persons who are identified as God must also be then at once in the same time, equally, eternally, the one true and living God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Reformed Academy. All of our courses are available in video, online, entirely for free at reformedforum.org. And we also include Spanish and Chinese subtitles. But we are only able to do this with your support. And so if you are excited about this theology and want to enable people around the world to watch and listen to these free resources, please visit reformedforum.org/donate to provide your support.